She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's
so I'm sitting in my kitchen last night. Cool as ever, she's too listening to the Matt LaFleur press conference from yesterday, and wowee, was the weather wild last night. We had crazy winds, driving rain, just, I was like, whoa. And since I don't watch the news, this came as a surprise to me.
Should you be admitting that you don't watch the news out loud into a microphone?
Is that because my husband... my husband is on the news?
That's correct. Yes. Yes. That would be correct.
You watch the weather? I constantly watch the weather.
Yeah, that's because you are an old man. That's what old people do, Chew.
Is it really?
Oh, man. When I visited my grandparents in Arkansas, and when I was a kid, like, we would always go down to Arkansas. That's where they retired to, and, like, that was our spring break. We'd go down there. Weather Channel on constantly.
Huh.
To the point where I'm pretty sure after a half hour, I could have repeated whatever they were about to say.
The reason I watch the news, Gabriel, is because we're getting to the season down here of high anxiety. Ooh. So I am down here to hurricane-proof the house because I want my friends Angry, who helps us out tremendously. I want him to do as little work if there's one headed this way. The problem is this. My wife doesn't know when to stay in a lane. She wants all lanes. Every lane. Right?
She's just swerving all over the road.
So at the house, I'm in charge of the property, inside and out, right? So she has a problem just creating work. I am not a create work guy.
No.
Does she want to create work because she thinks you're bored? She wants to give you something to do?
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yes, and she wants all the lanes. Even though she is not qualified to handle all the lanes. So we had two hurricanes here within 10 days last season. So people are a little jittery here, right? So the first hurricane, which was the worst hurricane in the Tampa area in 100 years. The water came 2 feet from the garage, right? The worst hurricane in 100 years. So she wants to elevate everything in the garage 3 feet. And I'm like, why?
Wait a minute. Hold on. I just want to understand what you're saying. You're saying that, like, you've got stuff on the floor of the garage, and she wants to lift it up 3 feet. So put it on risers, essentially, in case you guys get water in the garage. Did you get water in the garage last year?
No. So the worst hurricane in 100 years didn't give us water in the garage. So I'm like, why? Well, we need cinder blocks. Do you have cinder blocks? I'm like, yeah, I got them in my right pocket right now. You need them?
That's how Chewy gets so big and strong. He's just walking around with cinder blocks. He can curl them at a moment's notice.
No, is that a cinder block in your pocket? Or you just happy to see me.
So that ended the conversation, and we compromised on Saturday. Okay? Because she wants to put everything, you know, up. I'm like, the trash bins are made of plastic. Water is not going to hurt them. They do not need to be 3 feet off of the ground. So it was a compromise, and
I want to hear how your compromises go. I know how the compromises in my house go.
I mouth off, so I don't let it go. So I'll be in the bedroom, and I'm like, oh, we should really raise the bed 3 feet, don't you think? So I don't stop until I win, because it's not her lane, Jen. It's not her lane. It's my lane.
Just out of curiosity, how did the mouthing off and suggesting that you raise the bed 3 feet, how did that work out for you?
She went to verbalizing it the first couple of times to hand gestures thereafter.
I think we got the point.
Yeah.
I can't put two and two together.
So it's just about hurricane proofed and angry. If he had to come over here, he's got maybe 15 minutes of stuff to move.
So what do you have to do? What do you have to do? Like, how long does it take you to hurricane proof your house? Because, I mean, living in Wisconsin, this is not anything I've ever had to do.
So the obvious stuff needs to go inside. So my studio down here is full of outdoor furniture, TVs, cushions, chairs, and all of that stuff. The garage is, you know, pressure washers, things, fire pits, things like that. But it's the little things. It's the little things you don't forget. Like, I have a clock on the tree.
Oh.
Which turns into a projectile.
Yeah. You know,
if you have 120 mile an hour wind. So you have to look at the little things to be like, ooh, that's got to come in. Like the outdoor kitchen area, all of the cabinets, the metal cabinets there have to be zip tied. You raise the boat all the way to the top of the lift and ratchet strap it to the lift. So there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, just, I mean, it's nothing overly, like, physical, like when you had to move all the stones to do the landscaping. It's
correct.
Just, but there's a lot of things on the list.
It's you got to just look at the little things, you know what I mean? Because if you forget, like, the little things, like I said, those turn into projectiles and those go through windows.
So, Chu, I sent you this link this morning.
Yeah, I saw that.
Have you heard of the Fallen Tree Act in Florida?
No, but I thought we were talking about it. In one of the breaks, where if someone else's tree falls onto my property, who according to that, who's responsible for it?
Well, so that's what the act is. It's a proposal that says that homeowners would have the right to remove a neighbor's tree if it was growing partially on their property without permission. And again, this is all weather-related, hurricane-related, because there is always a squabble over who is responsible for the removal of said tree when it falls down, weather-related. And if there's damage, who is supposed to handle that? Now, typically it's the homeowner, but the homeowner then gets their insurance rates go up and all of that stuff. So it leads to a lot of conflict. So I believe that this Fallen Tree Act is supposed to try to eliminate the conflict by making it black or white. The problem is they're saying that now, if this goes through, there are going to be people, and stay with me on this, Gabe. If there's a tree in your neighbor's yard that you think might fall on your house in a weather event, you could go over and cut it down.
Seriously? I wonder what the law is in Wisconsin.
This, to me, is wild. Now, when we had that big storm a few weeks ago when there were tornado warnings and all that, there were actually a couple of tornadoes that hit down in western Wisconsin. We had a tree from our, you know, wooded area fall back into our neighbor's yard. Boom. Our neighbor shows up on our doorstep and he's like, hey, we got a tree fell from your property into our property. How do you want to handle it? We walk over there. The tree was dead. It was an ash tree. And we ended up splitting the cost to remove the tree. It didn't hit anything. It didn't hit their shed or any other structure. So it literally was just poof, into the ground. And then you know how it like shatters.
Yeah.
You know, you got branches that are flying everywhere and whatnot. And that was pretty much as simple as it gets. But it's not always that way, Chu.
Speaking of trees, Jen, how's Paul Bunyan, your neighbor?
Oh, he is wild. He the other day, because now they got the they're filling the yard, right? So now they've got the little caterpillar out there, and they're leveling and they're moving and they're all of that. And every time they throw the caterpillar into reverse, you know what we get?
Burp, 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 burp.
Right, and then he goes forward again. Then he goes backwards again. Then he goes forwards again. Then he goes backwards again. Then he goes forwards again. You get the drift. I mean, I think it was till like 9:30 this past weekend. We believe that the wedding must be coming up pretty quick, right? The
wedding, we're approaching wedding season.
Right.
Sure,
right. And his daughter is having her wedding this summer, and so we believe that we don't know the exact date of it, but given the amount of beep, beep, beeping that we have heard over the last few weekends.
Yeah.
It's got to be right around the corner. It's fine. It's fine. We understand. Yeah. It's fine.
Come on. You want to start a war?
No.
Get the Polish music ready. The polka music. Point the speakers to the back.
But I did. I was in the kitchen the other day. We had the doors open in the kitchen, and that goes out to the backyard. And this is when I didn't know about the caterpillar. And I was like, what the is that noise? And then we were playing outside with the kiddos, and I was like, I could hear them pretty loud and clear talking in their backyard. So I was like, oh, they definitely heard me in my kitchen, you know, when I was like, but I mean, we were watching a movie the other night, and the caterpillar's got the big lights on it.
Yeah.
So you could see what you're doing. Yeah. And that was, you know, whipping around the yard and all of a sudden in our windows, but then it turned real quick and be going the other way. So yeah, it's been an adventure. I'm fascinated by this fallen tree act. How would you guys handle a dispute like that, you and your neighbors, Gabe?
I mean, the tree starts on your yard and it falls on somebody else's property. It kind of feels like, to me, it's common sense. Like, you're responsible for the damage that that tree creates. Yeah.
I wonder if insurance would cover it, though. I'm saying in Wisconsin.
That's interesting. Because my friends, in the house that I used to live in, like, a little bit before I moved in, there was, you know, big winds that came through, and there was a tree in front of their house that fell on their house. It was right in front of their house. You know, the roots weren't, you know, it's right next to the street, so it wasn't great roots, and it fell on their house. I'm wondering what would have happened if that tree would have fallen a little more diagonally and would have clipped the neighbor's house. Yeah, I'm not sure how that would have been handled.
You know, there's, like, tree law, and you can get for improperly in some states, improperly or municipalities, removing people's trees to the tunes of like hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines because they take into effect the age of the tree, the type of tree, the difficulty in growing it. Like, it is a very...
Well, there's an environmental component for sure.
It is a very, very detailed and like you have to call in lawyers and arborists and experts. And you can lose hundreds, like you could lose your house if you damage somebody's tree that you shouldn't be touching.
So, well, Jamie, go ahead, Chu.
I know this on the lake that you cannot cut a tree within, I think it's 50 yards from the lake, or you get fined. Because I know this one house that cut down a bunch of them and got fined, I want to say $250,000.
Whoa, it's a lot of trees.
Yeah.
And the guy,
they don't mess with trees.
He ate it, didn't even fight it. But I think that's more from an erosion standpoint, right?
Yeah, shoreline.
Yeah.
Yeah, they worry about that for sure. I got folks weighing in on the Carbless Talking text line this morning. Jaime in Orlando says, in Florida, if it falls in your yard, you're responsible for it. Doesn't matter if the tree is in your neighbor's yard. Whatever falls in your yard is your responsibility. Yes, unless you can prove negligence on the part of the neighbor. For instance, if you had told them, hey, man, I think that tree in your yard is dead. Hey, I think if it falls, it looks like it might fall into my yard, and you can prove that they did nothing about it, that you had that conversation. Again, they say put it in writing, as they do with all things that could go to litigation. But proponents of the bill believe it's unfair for people to have to pay for property damages caused by their neighbor's tree. So that's what this proposal in Florida is. The Fallen Tree Act is trying to get ahead of some of these conflicts that affect neighbors. Let's see. Mark weighing in saying, it is an act of God unless you can prove the neighbor was negligent in not removing a dead tree that they knew was going to fall. Yes. So I find those sort of neighborly things fascinating. Like, because you want to, again, same thing with like the guy who was taking down all the trees in the house behind us. I wasn't thrilled about it, but it's his yard. He can do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. And then you try to navigate the removal as delicately as possible so it doesn't turn into a whole thing, because we gotta live by these people, you know. Like, I don't want to have conflict. I don't want to have, you know, some people, Chewy, that, you know, it seems enjoy conflict, but not over here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind a little of it. It's better when it's someone else.
I was about to say, no, he doesn't enjoy turn, he doesn't enjoy his turn. Conflict He enjoys other people's conflicts.
Well, I told you guys, I have a neighbor down here like that likes to tell me what to do on my property. And then I mouthed off to him, and he doesn't talk to us anymore. So that's fine.
You're kind of mouthy. Are you getting more mouthy as you get older?
Well, Gabe, how would you like people telling you what to do on your property?
Well, no, I mean...
And all I said was, did I sell my house to you? I didn't check the mail. I'm not sure if I sold my house to you.
That's a good pop.
You know?
That's a good pop. So, I'm just saying, like, we started this segment with you mouthing off to your wife. We're ending the segment with you mouthing off to your neighbor.
Well, Gabe, I think that's an age thing too. Don't old people have a tendency to mouth off?
Yeah, because you just don't care anymore, right?
There
now,
you
when
go.
You start mouthing off to the Weather Channel, you need to let us know. That might be a sign. Yeah. Things are going downhill.
Start cursing out Al Roker.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. All warmed up, all stretched out. Got a lot of stuff to get to today. Green Bay Packers spoke. Matt LaFleur chit-chatted. And then there is Shaq talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo and what he thinks the markets, how the markets affect that type of decision. All that and more coming up this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Where else can you get football analysis that includes things like dropsies and picksies and intercepsies and flowy? It's flowy. Flowy. The offense needs to be more flowy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and we got to hear from an awful lot of Green Bay Packers players, coaches yesterday. Well, I guess just Matt LaFleur from a coach's standpoint. And there were some interesting revelations. I can't always say that. I can't always say that, wow, there were some revelations coming out of 1265. But actually, there were yesterday. How many people were injured yet, Gabe, that we were unaware of last season?
Well, I mean, you had, there was off-season surgery for Kenny Clark, apparently injured his foot in week one down in Sao Paulo. Lucas Van Ness was dealing with a thumb injury for the majority of the season. But I don't know. I guess I look at this like, okay, that's interesting, and maybe it does explain a little bit why Kenny Clark was down last year. But did he show up on an injury report? I don't recall him showing up with a foot or us talking about a foot. And we've talked about this with Jordan Love. Okay, you were injured last year, yes. But ultimately, you still went out there. And part of your learning curve is, okay, how do I navigate these injuries and still perform at a high level? Kenny Clark's a veteran. He's been here forever. Yeah, injuries aren't, you can use the injury. It's not an excuse. It's just the fact of the matter. But if you're not showing up on an injury report and you're still going out there and playing, like, the standard is the standard. You have to play up to a certain level. That's just the way the NFL works. And I'm glad he got it cleaned up. It makes me hopeful that he can play better in 2025. But I guess I have a harder time giving him a pass and being like, oh, well, he was injured, when there was no mention of it whatsoever last year.
Chu, he says that it was the turf. Kind of danced around it a little bit if you listen to the sound, but basically the turf in that game in Sao Paulo against the Eagles, which brings up a whole nother conversation about, like, what level of responsibility does the NFL have to ensure that when those guys are going overseas and playing in these international games, that the playing surface is high level, is comparable to what they would be playing any other game in any other arena in the United States.
That's a low bar to clear.
Have
you seen Soldier Field?
Don't. Yeah, I know. They talk about player safety, but they really don't care. They care about the dollars. Although they did cancel. Didn't they cancel a game in Mexico City because the surface was just so bad?
Mm-hmm.
And then let's not forget the Hall of Fame game, because the paint was a little too hard on the center of the field. So, yes, they do care. But when it comes to these injuries, it's just another excuse-making. It's just, I know I played eons ago, but guys didn't make these excuses at the end of the year. And I remember when I went in for a knee scope, played the whole year, and it was bothering me. How it worked with surgery, because Pat would have just a packer day of surgery, and it went by seniority. So I was number 7 on the list to have my surgery that year. It's just a part of the game. No one ever used it as an excuse. And I've told you guys a million times, like, you start out first day of training camp, you should be at 100%. Right? You should be if you trained hard in the off season. And then it just gets whittled away. And if you can always have bumps and bruises, but if you don't have any major injury, a dislocated shoulder, torn cartilage or anything like that, you're still winding up at the end of the season at about, high 80s based upon the start of training camp. That's just the way it is. And it's a part of the game. Everyone has to deal with it. But stop using these. If it was so bad, and the training staff in Green Bay is the farthest from negligent, if it was so bad, you would have been on an injury report.
But doesn't this fall under what you usually say, Chew, which is that everybody has to learn how to play hurt?
Yeah.
So there's a part of me that's like, you know, this sort of explains, I don't want to consider it an excuse, because I didn't really get the impression that he was leaning on it as an excuse, but it does sort of explain why his numbers were what they were last season, and it also makes me more optimistic that he can have a bounce back year. That if he isn't dealing with a foot injury sustained week one of the season, that maybe we will see more production from Kenny Clark. So, by the way, I would hope that he can, just given the contract situation that he's in.
He was listed on the back end. He was listed on the injury report with a toe injury at several points last season.
Okay.
So I don't know how much. I don't know what part of his foot he had surgery on. It doesn't seem like it was the toe. It seems like this was something maybe even a little different.
The one thing you can make a case for optimism, he's a long enough veteran that the drop off last year was totally concerning, where I started debating, is he done? Like, did the Packers make a totally bad decision re-signing him when they did? Because we didn't frankly expect it. He joined Wilde and Tausch, and he knew at that point, but they were kind of hinting at, like, hey, this might be your last hurrah here in Green Bay. I don't expect him to lead the team in sacks or be like the biggest difference maker. But the level that he cratered at was out of character for him. So any sort of explanation I take is somewhat of a good sign.
But why would they not offer up this explanation last year the way it seemingly they went out of their way for Jordan?
Because one of them they're coddling and the other they're not.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
How old is he?
Way to cut right to the chase there, Joshy. I mean, but you're probably right about that. There, and again, we can have that conversation. We have had that conversation about the way that it appears as though they are handling Jordan with a little bit of kid glove still. We have been on this program saying, you don't need to do that. In fact, we think that you might be doing more harm than good by doing that. But I just found it interesting that there was this revelation yesterday, and I am in the camp of, oh, good. That explains why Kenny Clark wasn't Kenny Clark last season. And I do think that you will see not necessarily vast improvement because, you know, father time, but an improvement on his one sack, four tackles for loss, five quarterback hits, and just 35 total pressures, all lows or new lows since his rookie season in 2026. We got to get a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have Adam Schefter coming up next. Stick around, Adam Schefter, right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone.
Adam, yeah, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
It's always hard to beat a team three times one season. It just is. I wouldn't be surprised if they meet again. And I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay is in that game and Green Bay has a chance to win that game.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
Great to have Adam Schefter joining us this morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Adam, did I see that you were at a big birthday party for a big colleague of ours?
Yeah, they had a 70th birthday celebration for Chris Berman, 70 years old, 50 years at ESPN. At least it said that on the cake. I don't know if that was actually accurate or not, but 70 years old, 50 years. And it was very cool. They had a video, an 8-minute video of people sending in videos saluting him. And he obviously is the soul of ESPN and has done so much to build that place and really is the most legendary figure who has ever worked there. It was a very cool thing. It was an honor to be invited, and it was in Boston. So I flew into Boston yesterday afternoon. We went to this bar last night. Chewy, I'm standing there. I'm about to leave. I'm driving back to Bristol where I'm at now to do TV today with Field Yates. And this big guy comes over. He goes, Adam, Max Lane. Did you play against Max Lane, Chewy?
Oh, the lineman for the Patriots?
Yeah, we beat him.
Yeah, we beat him in the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 31.
Yeah, he played in that. Yeah, because
He's the one that got worked by Reggie. Those sacks in the end. Yeah. Tell him thank you.
And he was telling me that he retired. he retired in the year 2000, right before their run. So he missed out on all the Super Bowl rings.
Yeah. Adam, have you heard a number that the Packers offered Jair? Because I think that the number was so low that he did not take the offer right away. And I'm kind of surprised that if the number's low, no one else is willing to pay him that number, if that makes sense.
You know, I think they want him. They want him to take a low offer, and I think he doesn't want to budge on that. And so the Packers, I think, are going to have a choice. Either they're going to have to pay him what's on his contract, or they have to release him or trade him. Like, I don't think he's going to give in and take what they're offering. That's not going to happen. That's not going to be an option here.
Is that his best move, Adam? And then will someone grab him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Somebody would grab him, and they'll pay him a contract. And if not, then he'll choose the best situation elsewhere for 1 year and become a free agent after the season. A free agent, yeah. Start of the year. Like, and if he plays well, he'll pick a good situation. Like, I don't know. Let's just say Baltimore. I'm using that as an example. Like, Baltimore lost some defensive backs and free agents. What if you went into Baltimore, shined in that defense, and then became a free agent, right? Yeah. You're going to do well in the free agent market.
Adam, the news broke earlier this week. Pro Bowl center Frank Ragnow decided to retire. Obviously, that's big for the Packers because, well, he was the center of the best team in their division. How much of a heads up did the Lions have on this? Did they have a suspicion that this could happen? Because it's kind of late to be announcing that retirement with minicamp starting.
I think they definitely knew it could happen. And I think if you look at their draft and the guy they took in the second round, Tate Rutledge from Georgia, they already have him penciled in at center. So I think that they had the idea that this was going to happen. And I also think that Frank gave it as much time as he could in the hopes that he would feel better physically, that whatever's ailing him would come around, and it just never did. And so much so that in early June, he decided to announce his retirement and make it official. And I think, you know, obviously he felt like that was the best course of action. You hate to see that, and you know, that team is so strong and they've been so good. And for him to walk away right now, you know that he must not have been right, which he basically admitted in his statement.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Adam, what is the confidence level for the Minnesota Vikings with J.J. McCarthy? There was a list that was put out, I think it was on NFL.com, where they were talking about the most complete teams. And they had the Vikings listed at number 6. Packers, for reference, were at number 8. Now, do we recognize that they have a ton of skill position players? Yes. Do we recognize that they are a going to be a good team? But I can't wrap my brain around having a rookie QB under center and being considered a top 6 team in the league from a complete standpoint when they are weighing those positions. So the quarterback obviously is weighed more heavily. What is your understanding of the confidence level they are feeling with him right now?
Well, I think they believe in him, but they also have no choice but to believe in him because they've cast their lot with him. They basically tried to re-sign Sam Darnold, or at least spoke to him. Didn't happen. They tried to keep Daniel Jones. Didn't happen. And now you're left with JJ, who, again, they believed in enough to use a first-round draft pick. What was he, the 8th overall pick or whatever it was last year? Didn't play at all, wasn't around a lot his rookie year, got hurt and kind of was gone. So JJ's he's a great kid, and he has a chance to be a really good quarterback. But do we know what he's going to do in the NFL? I don't know. I believe in the guy. I like the guy. But I still haven't seen him play in the game. I'm not going to be surprised if and when he comes on and plays very well. Not going to be surprised. But we haven't seen it yet to know.
Adam, to expand on that, I've seen rumblings that they could possibly trade to get Cousins back. Have you heard anything along those lines?
Well, I think that would have been an option prior to them trading for Sam Howell. But they traded for Sam Howell, so I don't think you're trading for Sam Howell and then Kirk Cousins as well. Unless you go to camp and you go through the summer, and this would be a nightmare scenario where you're looking at what you're seeing in one of those two quarterbacks, either JJ and Sam, and you're not seeing what you thought you were going to see, and all of a sudden you're like, we got to do something here. Like, you know, short of the, you know, that's the way they would trade for Kirk Cousins. Now, once they traded for Sam Howell, I think that knocked Kirk Cousins out of the equation there.
What are you keeping your eye on over the next couple of weeks with OTAs and then mandatory mini camps going on and really the offseason program starting to wrap up?
Well, you know, the way that I like to think of this is that this is, think of yourself at the end of the school year. You couldn't wait to take that last test and get the hell out of school and run out that door and start your summer break. And that's how these teams are thinking right now, and that's how the players are thinking.
I thought that's what you were thinking, that you were starting to have a little senioritis, that maybe you had a little vacation planned here.
No. I have no vacation planned.
No vacation ever for Adam Schefter.
No. We run an assisted living facility for doggy daycare. Like, that's what we do. We take care of our four dogs. Two of them are in failing health. We can't go anywhere. I mean, it's unbelievable. But the one thing that I think hangs over everybody right now, and I know there'll be no interest in the Milwaukee market about this, is what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. Like, you know, here we are, June 4th. The Steelers' mandatory minicamp is June 10th to the 12th, and they'll probably cancel that last day, I'm sure, as most teams do. So you got 10th and 11th next week, Tuesday, Wednesday. Still no word. They still don't know what he's doing. Like, okay, at what point are we saying this is interesting, this is an issue? At what point are we saying, you know what, we need to lob a call into Atlanta to see if Kirk Cousins is available, and we can't wait on this guy? Like, do you do that at some point, or do you just keep waiting and in the hope that he's going to come around when he hasn't come around yet, and it's June 4th?
Adam, what was your opinion on the entire conversation surrounding Jordan Love comping the end of his first season as the starter to his performance last season? I know our colleague Dan Orlovsky jumped in and said something about anyone who thinks that Jordan Love has regressed is not judging quarterback play correctly. I know that there is a lot of optimism about what Jordan can do. We have seen signs of brilliance from him. How do you compare that 8-game stretch where he was so good at the end of the 2023-2024 season and then dealing with the injuries, dealing with the drops, dealing with some of those things and the production he showed last year?
Well, I don't think that anybody could say that last season went exactly the way that the Packers would hope. Now, you could say that he played well at times, didn't play well at times, but you can argue with the fact that the talent is there, the play and production at times has been there, but there also have been significant mistakes that have prevented him and them from realizing their full potential. Like, I think that's just a fact. So that's part of his natural progression and his growth over time, to where you hope coming back this year that he's eliminating those mistakes and he's making more great plays. And the great plays far outnumber those plays that held them back last year, and that the team can improve over what it did in 2024.
All right, I'll yield my time to Gabe. Go ahead, get it in, Gabe. Golf question.
Have you used Scotty Scheffler yet in your one and done? And are you gonna if you haven't, and I'm assuming you're just gonna use him for the US Open next week.
Gabe, I'm glad you asked that question.
Excellent.
Last week was the start of our second half pool.
Ooh, okay.
First half, thanks to your guidance, did not go the way that we would have intended and wanted.
Never going
to
live that out.
No, apparently not.
For the opening week, last week, I picked Scotty Scheffler.
That's just smart.
And so we are now in the second half pool. We are tied for first. And we got 4 million points last week, and I am very happy. So now we are mulling our picks for the Canadian Open this week. I think I have the guy I want. And I know, as Jen will be very curious about that, we'll report back to you next week with who we pick and how that golfer fares. Right, Jen?
Well, here's a follow-up for you. I know it's been a while since Dylan was in diapers, but did you see the video of his wife, Meredith, handing Scotty the baby, and the baby had the poop running up the back of the onesie? Did you catch that video at the end after he won?
Well, to combine all that, we're talking about running an assisted living facility for dogs. I didn't think I would be going here, but we have, if you'll allow me, we have four dogs. We lost one of our beloved dogs in January, Benny, and may he rest in peace, and I miss him and still hurt over that. But we have two dogs, one who's almost 19, Ella, who she's always been by my – she's been in my office for everything. But over the last couple of years, she's lost her vision. She's lost her hearing. She's kind of senile, and we love her, and we're taking care of her. And, like, she can't hear, like, she's crying at night. But Tuesday night into Wednesday, she's laying, you know, between my wife and I, and she's kind of squealing. She gets up at 3 in the morning. She steps right in my eye socket. She gets up, and then all of a sudden, she has the issue that affected Scotty Scheffler's son with as I'm holding her. So at 3 in the morning, she is pooping. She's pooping all over my arm, my legs, okay? And I get woken up. I have to go take her out. Well, she's in diapers too, by the way. But it's going through the diapers, okay? And it's going all over me. So I let her out. I give her nothing you want to do more at 2:33 in the morning than give your dog a bath and then have to get in the shower yourself at 3:15 after you finish up because she went all over you.
Jen, you know, day's just basically started. Jen, day started at 3:15.
Yeah, you did start it.
All I'm going to tell you is Scotty Scheffler got off easy. Okay? He got off easy, and he had $4 million in his pocket. I did not have any money in my pocket, and I was covered in poop.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
You know what, Adam? I love that you come on our show and you tell these stories that really humanize you to our listeners, right? Our loyal listeners think of Adam Schefter. He's this big-time insider, breaking news on the NFL. Meanwhile, you're over here doing doggy daycare. I love that you called it an assisted living center for our elderly dogs. We appreciate you, sir.
Well, we got Ella, and then we got Bailey, who's almost 16, and she's lost, like, the use of her back legs due to arthritis. So you have to pick her up and hold her up to go to the bathroom. And a lot of times, she can't stay. She falls back in. So Bailey gets 2-3 baths a day. You know, she winds up peeing on my legs all the time. Like, oh, it's great joy running the doggy daycare facility in the Schefter household these days.
Adam Schefter, visiting angel.
You'd have no idea, right? That's why when I can hit on my golf pick in my winter, it gives me something to just sit back and take away some of the pain and misery that I'm going through on a regular basis, enduring running our assisted living doggy daycare facility.
Adam, I got nowhere to go after this, so we're going to let you go. Have a great one, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
We'll talk next Wednesday. Thanks, everybody.
My goodness.
Got to go check in on those dogs.
Apparently.
Can't keep them for too long, right?
See, there you go. I blame Holmgren again. I'm not going to be able to get that out of my head every time I pass a dog.
Oh. Our conversations each and every week with Adam Schefter, brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino. It's your premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, pumpkin seeds.
No. Little suckers. They might be. What did you say before, Jen?
Sesame but those seeds. Are white. Like, yeah.
No,
white.
These aren't white. No, this isn't on the outside. This is on the inside.
Seeds on the inside.
Oh, yeah. So you've got some sort of, like,
scrotum.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Have you been to Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee, recently? Coming up on June 27th, they are showcasing why they have endless ways to win with the highly anticipated season finale blockbuster drawings. Watch your entries from Enchanted Spins, Unreal Treasures, and Boundless Bounty roll into drawings where $300,000 in cash and prizes is yours to grab. Be there to win your share June 27th only at Pottawatomie. There is more information available online. You must be 21 years old to play. There was a lot of chit-chat about Zach Tom yesterday with the Green Bay Packers. So I want to hear from Matt LaFleur talking about what the plan is for Zach Tom as we continue to try to figure out how this offensive line will be structured in 2025. Take a listen.
Yeah, I think that's a plan, absolutely. You know, that's where he's kind of found his home, but I think what's great about them is if you do have something that happens, it just gives you some flexibility up front. And we're always looking for guys like that. And I think our guys do a really good job, not only from a scouting department, finding players that have that versatility, but also I think our coaches do a pretty good job of cross-training those guys so that they can go in there and play. And I think as a whole, I think Zach's in a lot better space physically than he was a year ago. I mean, it's tough when you're rehabbing to get stronger and faster and in better shape. It's another thing to be out there and you're practicing and doing all the drill work, and you can really focus in the weight room at making those gains. So I think as a whole, though, I think our football team is in a much better spot than we were probably than we were a year ago as well.
Chewy, any clarity on the Zach Tom situation for you? He's obviously talking about right tackle there when he says that's a plan.
Yeah, he's trying to walk back what Stanovich said, or trying to soften it. Not working. Why didn't someone follow up and say, well, Stanovich said there's going to be competition at right tackle? Answer that. Or is it you just don't want to pay him? Because that's fine. Just tell the guy you don't want to pay him and he'll move on. But it's just a guy who's been as solid as Zach Tom at right tackle. And I don't care about last year. He didn't use excuses. He was still good, still better than anything they had. I just don't think you treat a player like that with saying he's going to compete after what he's done for you.
Well, and again, like signing him now is going to be cheaper than waiting to sign him.
I don't think they want to sign him, Gabe.
Okay, then that's fine.
I think that's their way of saying, hey, just tell them. What they say in Moneyball? They're professionals. Hey, we got to let you go. Barbara in my office will make the details. Best of luck. And then you move on. I just thought it was disrespectful to say that.
Yeah. So Zach Tom could do what a lot of players do and choose to, while they're trying to get these contract details sorted out, stay away. But he has chosen to be there. And we want to listen to Matt LaFleur, who it sounds like really appreciates that approach.
I think that tells you how much it means to him. And, you know, you want everybody here this time of the year. And understanding that it is voluntary, and but yeah, that means a lot. I know for me, it means a lot to me.
What I'm interested in here is, it clearly seems like Matt LaFleur is softening the blow that happened about the competing for it, and is making no bones about it that Zach Tom is in search of a new contract. Zach Tom said as much himself. So, are the Packers, was that cheap negotiating tactics by Stanovich on part of the organization to try and get him for cheaper? Like, I don't understand why you would change your messaging now.
I wonder if there's a disconnect.
Yeah, they're not on the same page.
Or
that
that
front office,
Matt LaFleur sending a message.
His Gutekunst, his team, on a different page than Matt LaFleur and his team.
Yeah, that was the only other explanation I had was he's saying and looking around going, hey, he's doing the right stuff, get him his damn money.
Because it doesn't jive with the way they're treating Jordan Love. You know, well, he didn't regress. Well, yeah, he did. Well, he was hurt. Yeah, I know. But so was Zach Tom. They just don't want to pay him. And that's fine. They don't want to pay him Penny Sewell money. That is okay. That's fine. He's a big boy. Just tell him that.
I mean, someone's going to give this dude $20 million a year.
Around there.
Someone's going to do that. Like,
but this seems like the typical Packer you want on your team. Am I right?
Well, yeah, because he's going through the contract stuff. First of all, played through the injury, didn't use it as an excuse, right? And just said, nope, I just need to play better. Didn't use it as an excuse last year. Now, when he's in line to make potentially $20 million a year, which is huge since he's a fourth-round draft pick, not like he's making big-time bucks, you know, for his position anyway, he's still showing up to minicamps. Like, something could happen to him at the minicamp, at the OTAs, and poof, that contract disappears. But he's like, nope, I want to be here. I think it's important to be here, so I'm going to show up.
What are they going to do if Walker beats out Morgan? What are they going to do?
Play Walker at right guard and say, this is what we want?
No, but they're not going to pay him, right? I mean, they've given the guy every single shot to get beaten out, and it hasn't happened. I hope he wins the left tackle job. I love stories like that.
Yeah, and then somebody else is going to pay him, and then they'll start Belton or Morgan next year at left tackle.
Yeah,
and, you know, like they because you can't sign all these guys.
No,
you know?
You can't sign all of them.
So, is that what's contributing to their hesitancy to give him Penei Sewell money? What number, Chu, would you be okay with if you were the Green Bay Packers? Again, recognizing that it does appear that they have a cheapness about them at certain positions, but Penei Sewell is making $28 million a year.
28?
Yes.
Ooh, they ain't paying them.
No.
Well, right, but could they go 22? Could they go 24?
I mean, if you're Zach Tom, you say it's 25. Look at the all pro voting. Mm-hmm. There's two guys in the NFL better than me. I don't have to be paid as much as Penei, but you have to pay me a lot.
I mean, if I'm Zach Tom's agent, I'm not right now. I'm talking before the season starts, 25. But, I mean, I assume, because I think he's a really good player, he's going to go out and potentially be a Pro Bowl player, and he might make more than Penei Sewell.
So, Penei Sewell's making $28 million. Lane Johnson is the second highest paid.
Hold on. Hold time out. When did he become Penei?
Like,
when did he become Penei?
What do you think
instead of
is?
Penei?
It's always.
I mean,
been.
Are you Leroy and Leroy and me here?
This is what's going on. Yes, this is what's happening.
Gabe,
I wouldn't get too hung up on it. Johnson is making $25 million.
Yes, so Johnson is making $25 million, and then it drops down.
Juwan Taylor at
to Juwan Taylor at 20. Ryan Ramczyk is 19.2. So those are the top four.
He retired. Ramczyk retire?
He did. Yes, didn't
okay.
he?
Yeah, but that's
I would say if I'm Zach Tom's agent, I'm saying 4 years, $25 million average, half of that or a little more than half of it guaranteed.
Yeah.
They just don't want to do it, I don't think.
And waiting any longer, if I don't know if you know about this, about NFL contracts, they keep going up.
Yeah.
There isn't anybody getting paid less unless maybe you're a running back, which those are even going
up.
Well,
even those went up. Yeah. Even those went up. Any contract. Again, this is the lesson that should have been taken out of the Devontae.